From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with your state and local news update. The avalanche danger has gone down from extreme to considerable in downtown Juneau this week, but that still leaves a risk of avalanches, especially along the transmission line that supplies a large portion of Juneau's hydroelectric power. Mike Janes is an avalanche forecaster for Juneau's electric utility. He says when weather allows, they routinely fly over the transmission line to the Snedisham Hydroelectric Project about 28 miles southeast of Juneau.
One of the main differences with Snedisham is that we get 2 to 4 times the precipitation down there than we get in town. So things stack up a lot quicker. The storms are more intense and more potent and all that.
Because the transmission line's towers are located in avalanche terrain, Janes says they look for recent avalanches and clues of potential slides yet to come. The utility's avalanche mitigation work and modifications started after an avalanche destroyed 3 towers in April 2008. Another avalanche in January 2009 hit one of the same towers that was destroyed the year before. 3 of the towers located in an avalanche path now have diversion wedges constructed around them. They are basically giant steel structures intended to deflect most of an avalanche away from the base of a tower.
They're bolted to the mountain with long rock bolts and rods, and yeah, they're pretty beefy. And these columns are 4 feet in diameter, 40 feet tall, and everything had to be lifted in with a heavy lift helicopter.
Part of an avalanche forecaster's work is avalanche control, or triggering small avalanches before they become much bigger ones. Janes says they used to drop explosives from a helicopter, but now they sling a device called a Daisy Bell, which makes a small explosion by mixing oxygen and hydrogen. It's inexpensive to use, safer, and much more accurate.
And it just blasts down onto the snow, which will collapse the weak layer that you're trying to get at, and then causes avalanche releases when that happens.
Even though the current avalanche danger is not as high as last weekend, Jane says Juneau is not out of the woods yet. Freezing rain that fell on cold snow last month created instability in the snowpack throughout the region. And he says the biggest avalanche cycles in the Juneau area typically happen in March and April. In another news, an important part of tackling climate change is understanding how carbon moves through different ecosystems. As KCAW's Aaron McKinstry reports, a recent study examined how the carbon-rich waterways of the Tongass fit into the global carbon cycle.
When Dave DeMore and his colleague Rick Edwards started working at the Forest Service Research Station in Juneau, the streams of the Tongass caught their attention.
One of the things I noticed was the dark tea-colored water coming out of the wetlands. And so Rick just one day asked me, well, how much carbon do you think is in that? And I'm like, well, I don't know. It seems like we should probably figure that out.
What makes the water brown is something called dissolved carbon. It's basically just tiny bits of organic matter, Edward says.
But it's literally hundreds or thousands of different things, different chemicals. There may be sugars, simple carbohydrates. There may be proteins. There may be complex and not very tasty organic acids.
Those tiny particles were the focus of a recent study that Edwards and DeMore headed up along with 5 other researchers. The goal was to figure out how much of that organic matter Southeast streams and rivers dump into the Gulf of Alaska each year.
It's an accounting exercise, much in the same way that you would measure and monitor the flows of money through different sectors of the economy.
The researchers traveled from northern British Columbia to the southwestern tip of the Yukon, gathering water samples. Then they paired the field data with map data and statistics. What they found wasn't insignificant. The amount of dissolved carbon being moved by the Southeast Alaska drainage basin is equivalent to nearly 11 million barrels of oil. This accounting is important for setting carbon budgets and regulating greenhouse gas emissions, DeMore says.
Most government agencies and nations are now trying to quantify the total amount of carbon that is either taken into the terrestrial system or released.
According to the EPA, the amount of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere has increased by more than 40% since the start of the Industrial Revolution. Because forests like the Tongass hold on to carbon, they can serve as a buffer for increasing greenhouse gas emissions. But to know how much of a buffer they actually provide, policymakers need to account for how carbon moves through the forest ecosystem, DeMore says.
If you didn't include this dissolved carbon in the total flux from that pool, you would overestimate the storage potentially in the terrestrial system.
The paper also looked at an understudied region and provided an opportunity to collaborate across national boundaries. Two of the study's authors were Canadian. Cross-boundary research has increased over the last decade, says geographer and another of the study's authors, Francis Biles.
Before about 2010, most of our studies pretty much ended at the Canadian border, just as if the watersheds just suddenly ended there and had no influence on what was happening in the Southeast coastal waters.
She credited efforts from the Alaska Coastal Rainforest Center in Juneau and the Southeast Alaska GIS Library with helping foster those relationships and opening up the doors to research across the ecosystem. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Erin McKinstry.
Indigenous people across the country continue to confront the missing and murdered Indigenous persons epidemic. Now, three tribes in Alaska are participating in a pilot program to collect data and provide solutions on a community level. KDLG's Brian Vanua talked to tribal and federal officials about how a new pilot project will change their approach to missing and murdered Indigenous people and help to bring justice to active and cold cases.
At the beginning of the year, the U.S. Attorney's Office for Alaska announced that the Department of Justice would embark on a pilot project to address the missing and murdered Indigenous persons epidemic in the state. The Chugiang Tribal Council in Dillingham is one of three Alaska tribes that volunteered to be part of the project. Each tribe will develop a tribal community response plan tailored to its needs, resources, and culture. Tribal Administrator Courtney Carty says that as part of Chugiang's action plan, the tribe will work to determine the scope of the epidemic in the region.
Part of the reason that we decided to engage in this work is that we don't have adequate data to quantify the issue and its impacts on our communities, and part of engaging in this pilot project is to begin gathering those statistics ourselves. And it's very important in tribal governance to not only exercise the tribal council's sovereignty on these issues in general, but especially in terms of gathering our own data ourselves.
According to a study by the Urban Indian Health Institute, out of 29 states, Alaska ranks fourth in the number of missing and murdered Indigenous women. A lack of historic data is a major obstacle to effectively addressing the epidemic. Carty stressed the importance of gathering statistics on a local level.
All too often, Native communities are researched by outsiders. In this situation, it's very important that, especially with such a sensitive topic, that our council is able to work with families directly to quantify the issue and demonstrate that ourselves versus having an outside organization do that for us.
Second Chief J.J. Larson says when tribal members are missing or may have been murdered, the tribe will facilitate communication between investigators and families.
Of course, we're not going to be involved in investigating and stuff like that, but we can do some of the side stuff, making sure that these cases don't get dropped off after so long, which is kind of what we see happens, and making sure families stay informed of what is going on in the investigations.
Larson says the tribe hopes to establish education campaigns as a preventative measure to make members aware of potentially dangerous situations.
Especially with the internet age, it's so tough. I mean, it's so easy for people to get caught up in a scandal or a scam on the internet. And with talking to some of the law enforcement agencies, like, there's a lot of internet scams going on.
The tribe meets with the U.S. Attorney's Office as part of a forum to increase communication between communities and public officials. The forums include a wide array of law enforcement agencies and many other entities like VPSO supervisors, community advocates, and other tribes in the state. Ingrid Cumberledge is the MMIP coordinator for the U.S. Attorney's Office in Alaska. She says that a key to reduce MMIP cases is to establish connections between tribes and agencies and to implement solid tribal community response plans.
We really just need to build those relationships and make sure that everybody is reporting as soon as possible so that we can get working on any incident at the quickest possible moment.
Cumberledge says that as part of the federal initiative, troopers will get involved in investigations as soon as possible.
The Alaska State Troopers in our working group have explained to us that they're going to be providing the oversight, even if they're not on site, that they're going to be communicating with the folks on the ground to help support whatever activity is happening until they can get there.
Chugiang's plan will serve as a model for hub communities like Bethel and Nome.
That was Brian Venua with KDLG in Dillingham. And if someone you know may be missing or murdered, contact your local state trooper's office as soon as possible to begin an investigation. Resources for people impacted by missing and murdered Indigenous persons can be found on the Association of American Indian Affairs website. This is KTOO News, Juneau.